Well, it wouldn't be a Saturday morning. Ooh. If I wasn't sitting here with you, Aaron.
Hey, dude. It's good to see you, man.
Yeah. Man, I love this tune.
This is beautiful. I never heard this before.
Amazing.
Who is this?
The Vanguards.
Oh my god.
Somebody Please. There was a French hip-hop group that sampled this.
Oh, really?
And it's just a great sample.
I really like it, man.
Some crazy lowrider soul.
Lowrider soul?
Lowrider soul.
Is that what this is called? This particular style?
Yeah. It's very popular in the West Coast of the United States.
Oh, lowrider soul. Got it.
Lowrider soul.
Yeah, you know what's funny? Talking about like that, I just watched American Me. Again, I hadn't seen that in such a long time.
That's a great movie.
And like, I forgot, you know, I forgot all about that history. When I was growing up and got into like, you know, spoiler alert, I was into swing dancing for a hot minute and like learned about like zoot suiters and like pachucos and like the whole zoot suit riot thing. I forgot all about that whole component in that movie. It's like where it starts. It's, oh my God, it's great. I hadn't seen it in a long time.
There's a great t-shirt brand that pops up every once in a while that has all of these American Me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, logo t-shirts and all the quotes and everything.
Really?
I've...
Oh, if next time you see one, just send one over my way. So how was your week, man?
It was a week.
It sure was. Sure
a
was,
full
man.
5 days away.
I'll tell you, you know, it's so funny. Like, I think about that question, you know, like we talk about with my employees all the time. You know, it seems like an innocuous question of like, how you doing? And it's like, I mean it, you know, like I care how you're doing. I really do. But I don't want to complain. Like, I don't want to like bring it into the conversation and be like, well, actually, you know, it was really, really bad. Not to say that I'm not comfortable sharing my stuff. Obviously this podcast is basically, you know, destroys any chance of me saying that I don't like talking about my feelings or what's going on in my head.
Tell me about your mother.
Yeah. Well, but you know, it's funny, you know, I ask you how your week was, but like, you know, as much as I care, I also just like, we're here together, man. Like, we made it. We're back at another Saturday morning together, you know?
Yep.
Don't have to tell me what's going on.
No, that's a famous Gabe-ism, because I'm good at putting that face on, and yeah, it could be a mess inside, and nah, I'm just going to sit with this terrible stuff in my head.
I'm glad to see that you've decided to be a mess on the outside as well, too, this morning, too, man.
I'm not wearing sweatpants today.
Nope. No, it's great. Tidy whities, guys. BVDs for our good buddy Gabe.
Ah, yes.
White BVDs. Yeah. Fruit of the Looms. Did you think that BVDs weren't made anymore? Well, Gabe's got the last few sets.
They're vintage.
He's wearing them. They belong to an older man who worked on his crew. Shout out to Pete.
Hey, what's up, Pete? Did you know that Pete goes into a lot of different songs? It rhymes with a lot of things.
Yeah, you were mentioning this to me. Yes. I know I can like mention a couple off the top of my head, like feet for sure. Pete and feet.
Oh,
that
yes.
Seems to go together. Yeah. Repeat as well, which is the easy one, you know?
Yeah, like Carole King. Pete, you're so vain. You think this song is about you? You know?
I bet he loves that.
Oh, he does.
Yeah. Amazing.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's some job site humor there for you. If you want to know how I get through every day, I put Pete's name into every song on the radio.
Basically abuse. You basically abuse an older gentleman on the work site, you know, your senior sort of like journeyman glazer, and you're just abuse him mentally.
I don't think it is an abuse. He's my muse.
It really doesn't matter how you think about it, Dave. It depends on what he thinks about it.
Somewhere he's going, why? Oh, he's going to love hearing this. Oh, man,
anonymity. Sorry, Pete, it's over. You can catch Pete on Fridays and Saturdays at the Krabby Shack on the coast.
He'll be double-fisting clammy fries.
Oh man, you sent me a text about that too. We do need to set up that date.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. It's going to be a long day to do that. I won't, like, if we do that, we should hit a couple spots out there. Cuz it's not a lot, it's not a short drive.
It's not, but you can always stay.
Yeah.
Cuz I'll be there.
Sounds great, dude.
Yeah.
Oh man. So we were recording in at my place this morning, which is nice for a change. So if it sounds a little bit different to the six people who are listening to this, that's why.
Sans no dogs.
Yep, no dogs. There will be a fridge, and we live. I live on a street, so you'll hear some cars go by at some point. But I was just thinking, you know, man, I thought about a topic that I wanted to talk about with you. which is sort of optimism in really shitty times. Like, this past year, we're all sort of coming out of this 2020, this whole pandemic, pretty exhausted. I mean, I'll speak for myself here. Just pretty beat up. You know, a lot of friends of mine suffered some terrible losses. And, you know, we lost friends, we lost businesses. But predominantly, like, there were some of us, like yourself, I imagine, who just kept working. You know, like, we worked through this entire year. And not to say that we wanted a break or that we weren't grateful for having a job during all this, but there was definitely some times where it was like, I don't know how I'm going to keep through this. And what you were just saying as well, too, which is like, I'm always Mr. Put a Good Face On, Mr. Optimism. And I mean it. Like, I'm usually always in a good mood, but there are a lot of times over the past year and over the past few months where it's just been like really challenging, a shit ton of challenging stuff that's just been coming my way, or I've been around, or dealing with friends who have been going through some difficult times, or like, you know, the losses of friends and deaths and all life, you know? And I was curious about how, like, I don't have kids. I have my grown up work family, which sounds like innocuous, but like I mean it. Like, we're real family, you know, for all intents and purposes. And that's how they treat me, and that's how we treat them. But, you know, I was curious about what your process was. I mean, music has got to be a big part of you finding optimism.
Yeah. Just to reiterate that, Aaron is an amazing guy. And
buddy.
I was talking with my wife about this a little bit, and I was like, you know, when I first met Aaron, and I know we yammer on about this stuff, but so I won't spend too much time, but Aaron's legit, like, dude, genuine person, and one of the smiliest, nicest faces I have seen in a long time. And it's just a genuine care for people and care for his customers, and so I just want to say thank you for being a good smiley face. As a person who worked in retail for a long time, and just you find that it only takes one person to ruin your day, and then it takes a lot to not ruin your day, and but you remember those people that are really great, like the really great customers, the really great people that come in that you just sort of meet, you know, whether they're vendors or whatever. But I can still visualize like the three people in my time in retail that were always great people, and they were just smiley and just like genuine people. And so shout out to those people. Thank you for being a ray of sunshine in a dark, dark day or cold world or whatever you want to call it.
You're a sweetheart.
Yeah. So anyways, that's my gushing love for Aaron.
Fooled you.
Now to the real stuff.
Now I'm going to throw hot coffee in your face.
anyways. Yeah. I'm a guy that likes to carry stuff on my own.
Yeah.
Don't talk a lot about, you know, my real struggles, the stuff that's going on. Because sometimes it's just like, whatever. That's life.
Yeah.
And you know, as a parent and as a husband, there have been times where I've had to have conversations with my wife, and she's like, "Well, you're just not happy." And I'm like, "There's this human experience is so much more than just that finding happiness." And there's so much to our lives. There's so much pain. There's so much struggle. There's so much work that has to be done that it's just not possible to be happy all the time.
That's a pretty healthy sort of like understanding or sort of mentality when it comes to dealing with life, and that it's not binary, right? It's not happy and sad, right?
Yeah.
There are a lot of different emotions within all of those pieces, but whether you share it or not, having that understanding for yourself is pretty healthy, you know? Because you're not depressed if it's having a shit day, you know? If the weather's bad and you got a crap job and someone's yelling at you or whatever, it's like, this is not the end. This is not the end of it, you know? Like,
yeah. I can say that... I am a person of faith, and I have a basis in sort of like a higher power being involved and things like that. But just in the morning, like, honestly, and I know we talk about the early mornings because that's when we record this and everything, but I like the promise of a new day. I like when the sunrise comes up and it's like, today could be different from yesterday.
Mm.
And I don't have to be tied to whatever shit happened yesterday or whatever things. And that might be, you know, very optimistic and whatever, but that's sort of how my day starts. And like, that's okay. It's a new day.
Yeah. I mean, that's a beautiful sentiment, Gabe, you know, just burp. Think about your beautiful sentiment here.
Compliments to the chef.
No, it really is a beautiful sentiment. I think that's when I talk to some of my younger friends, the idea of optimism just on the sheer basis of waking up again. My dad used to talk about that all the time, you know, and you forget, you know, when you're young, you're invincible. You don't recognize it. But as older I get, the more I'm appreciative of sunrises. And I'll tell you what, man, like, you know, for me, meditating has that sort of feel in the morning, is that like, I get this quiet time before I say anything. I mean, Saturdays are different because we're up so early, but I'm usually up somewhere between 5 and, you know, 4:30, 5:30 every day. And I get a couple hours to myself in the morning just to be quiet,
mm-hmm.
and just look around or read or write or just have a cup of coffee in the morning quietly or meditate. And that, I mean, it's a ritual, but it's also... it's a lot of gratitude in there, man. You know, it's a really good point. It's just like, yeah, today. Like, not worried about tomorrow. Yesterday's done. You know, I don't have to do what I did yesterday again. I mean, I don't have to do exactly what I did yesterday. I don't have to deal with that because today I got an opportunity to think about it. That's why the mornings are so... We were talking about boundaries as well, too. When you came up and we were getting set up. I feel like that's a good thing, too. It's just, you know... Having that time to be grateful, you know, you're not just constantly pushing, but you can actually like take a minute and you can actually be grateful for what you got, you know, mm-hmm. whether you're a person of faith or not. I think it's pretty crazy. You know, I have these moments where probably not a good idea to admit this while I'm driving my car, but like where I just sort of look around and I see, like, I went for a walk yesterday morning. And I saw the train, right? It's like a mile and a quarter long, this train that just runs behind the house. And it's just like, it's man-made, you know, like there's so much effort that went into making this, the tracks and like laying, making these cars and transporting and all the people involved. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff to just sort of witness and just see through your normal day that you just take for granted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's sometimes the way the kids look at things, you know, as my boys were growing up.
Kids.
Yeah, you know, kids. Some kids. So as my boys were growing up, there were moments that it was like, oh, this is the first time they're experiencing this.
Yeah.
And there are many milestones, and it's, those things sort of become fewer and farther between. But there are moments that we just sort of miss those things or don't see how cool things are.
Totally.
I've done some work at an Air Force base, and there were fighter jets, I don't know, 100 yards from us. And every morning those things would take off. And every morning, everyone in the building, it didn't matter who you were, went over to the windows and watched these things take off because it was just cool.
Totally.
And it was that, the wonderment and amazement of just, wow, that's cool. I hope that I would be able to do that more and more with, you know, just things like a cup of coffee, hanging out with a good friend like Aaron. Like this podcast has been one of those things where I know it's early and I know that sometimes it's like, oh, do we really have to do this? These conversations mean so much to me.
Yeah, me too.
Because it's time to spend with you. Yes, we're recording it. Yes. I have stupid jokes, but, it's that moment where this is our time that we get to talk about whatever we want to talk about and we get to enjoy it and sort of, and I would hope that this is motivating to people who are listening to ourselves to sort of just go, okay, this is good.
Yeah.
This contact, this communication, because communication can be such an amazing thing, and it can be such a harmful thing too in a world where we're constantly sending text messages and emails and all of that stuff. And sometimes you don't have that context of like, what does this mean?
Yeah.
You know, and it can be taken so many ways. You know, I can so many times I have a text message and just, you don't have any basis to what that, the context of what they're saying. And so you can take it offensively. You can take it whatever, however you want it.
It's my favorite thing to do, especially yeah. is to sort of like look at text messages from my friends and read them in an aggressive tone. Yeah, it's like, what's up, dude? Nothing.
Why is he yelling?
I'm great. How are you? I think there's actually a Key and Peele episode that talks about that. But like, I know exactly what you're talking about, man. And like, shout out to our mutual friend, Eric Kearns. He built this, he helped design and sort of oversaw the building of this bridge across the river here, behind the hotel. And I worked on that construction crew that was doing some work around the site, and I got to watch these guys, you know. First, Eric brought me out and showed me like these massive concrete pylons that they poured, which were like, I don't know, I'm going to make up a number here. I think it was like 400 tons of concrete, right? And they set these footings and then built this bridge. And these guys came, these like, they were like spider monkeys, and they travel around, and they're like somewhere between like rock climbers and carpenters and like Cirque du Soleil acrobats. They did this work, and I'm telling you, dude, when they finished this bridge, I watched them make final adjustments with just a regular old spanner, you know, just making small adjustments on this bridge. And the thing was like dead balls flat. Like it was just straight, you know, like just perfectly plumb and level to what they wanted it to be. And it was just like 0.00 on the button. And I think like, being around that kind of stuff, and just, you know, we see it all the time. You know, we drive by it, we take it for granted, like you were saying. But Eric always talks about, you know, when you've got questions about stuff people are doing, or you want to get something done, you know, talk to people who know how to do it and ask them, how do you do this thing? You know, so often we feel like we need to be overconfident, and sometimes, like, I don't want to like be preachy, but social media tends to, for me, breed this need to be the best or to be perfect. And I really like not knowing a lot of stuff. I really like asking a lot of questions, because I'm kind of like it in awe of all the stuff that's going on. Like talking to you and Matt, you know, shout out Maddie Wags, you know,
what's up?
But like watching you guys spin together, you know, watching, you know, all my friends do the work that they do, watching other great cooks or other great musicians on stage, or watching guys work on motorcycles or weld metal together. Like it's there's so much stuff that I'm surrounded by on a regular basis that it's just like, man, there's so much time and hours and man hours and skills required. And yeah, it's nice to share the space with other talented people who are doing their job. You know, it's pretty incredible, man. It's and to me, that keeps me optimistic, because it takes the focus off myself, which obviously is a good practice anyway, you know. But I wonder, your work is pretty physically demanding and pretty dangerous, I would argue. just in the sense of like materials you're working with, right?
Oh,
like
something, absolutely.
Something goes wrong on your job site, it's pretty bad. Something goes wrong on my job site, someone's going to lose a hand at the worst, right? But no one's going to die.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And when you're on those sites, like when you started doing this kind of work, you know, was that sort of fear? Like, did the guys you work on, were they just careful, or were they just sort of like, was there optimism on a job site where they're hanging, you know, 1,000-pound pieces of glass? Like, does that even exist? Is optimism even in the page?
It has to be, because if you're going to complete a project, you have to be able to spot problems, spot dangers, spot potential hazards. And that's not talked about sometimes, just like it's mentally gone, all right, it's doing that thing. You know, we had a piece of glass break last week, and I was two stories up above a like three propane tanks.
Oh my God.
And this piece of glass just blew up. And it could have been very dangerous and potentially incredibly hazardous if that piece of glass had fallen and broken those propane tanks. I mean,
what do you guys do when that happens? Do you just, everybody stops work and you just sort of take a minute and sort of like assess?
Well, it was two of us in a lift, and we somehow got the rest of the glass IGU back in the lift, and sort of mentally got through it. And but as you're thinking about it, like, yes, breaking glass on work sucks, and it's never wanted. Sometimes things just happen.
Yeah,
and that just happened. But again, the potential for
the piece just blew up, or it hit something, or
it happens every once in a great while.
Oh my gosh.
If anybody's listening, glass is what I work with, and glass can be very delicate, obviously, but the sides of glass is where it's weak. Like if you're looking at just a typical thermal pane, the front faces that you look through are stronger than the sides. And so the sides just sometimes are weak and they can break and whatever. But we, looking back on that thing, was like, that could have been even worse than what happened. And sometimes it's just a matter of, things are going to happen. You can get mad at yourself, but you have to just sort of be like, okay, it happened. Let's move forward.
Oh my God. And those pieces are custom cut for the job, right?
Yeah. So we're working on a out on the Cape, and everything is hurricane impact resistant. So it's heavy, and it's not your normal everyday stuff. So it's incredibly heavy. It's incredibly delicate. Just how it all has to go into the system. And
wow, talk about trusting your tools too, man.
Yeah, like
how do you lift a piece like that?
Cups and strong guys.
That's crazy to me, man. Like I'm always in awe of like the simplistic nature of how some major work is done. You know, it's like a fulcrum or a suction cup, you know, is lifting this, you know, 1,000-pound piece of glass up the side of a building 100 stories up. You know, like, that's insane.
Yeah.
To me, you know?
I like some of the danger in my job because you have to respect it.
Yeah.
It's just like using a table saw. A table saw is an amazing tool, but you have to respect that thing.
Yeah.
Because it will tear your fingers up if you're not careful.
Yeah,
I've seen or some, off.
I've seen some bad things in kitchens. Again, no one dies in a kitchen, you know. I've seen some people lose some limbs, get pretty close to losing some limbs, having some pretty bad cuts. I've had my share as well too. Most recently on set a week ago, as a matter of fact. Actually, it was on Sunday, so 6 days ago. But you know, I think you're right. Like, the times that I get hurt are the times that I have a narrative in my mind, which is usually negative. I'm thinking about someone else's bullshit, and I'm talking about it to myself, which I do a lot out loud.
You're in good company.
Yep. You know, like, and I'm just sitting there having this conversation with myself out loud, like full on, you know, two-sided conversation. And then all of a sudden it's like finger goes through the slicer, or, you know, fingertip gets sliced off on the mandolin, or a can of tomato paste cuts me for no good reason. I mean, I've been in this business a long time. I've done a lot of things, but it's really easy for me to get sucked into that negative headspace pretty quick. And as soon as I do, you know, it's hard to catch myself. The gap between when I fall into that space and when I catch myself in that space seems to be getting closer the older I get. You know, I think that's just experience. But, you know,
who's the dad from That 70s Show, Red?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that's me closer and closer as I get older and older.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's true, man. Like, I look back at the way I was when I first started in this business, and I see these young kids we're working with, and, you know, God bless them. They want to work, man, and they want to try, and that's huge, you know? I can't tell you how grateful I am for all of the work that they put in to help build our business. You know, Alex and I know that this thing isn't going to run itself. And that sort of brings me some optimism. But mostly I just want to be in a good place for them. You know, like, I know that my energy that I put out to the world, like, it has an effect on other people. And if I'm in bad shape, they're looking to me for guidance, you know, just like with you and your kids, man. If you're in a shitty mood all day, your kids are going to first off, they may, I mean, I'm not putting words in your kid's mouth, but I'm just saying, like, if I'm working at a place or I have somebody who's my sort of my guide and they're in a bad mood and I don't know why, first I'm going to think it's my fault. Mm-hmm. This is me talking, right? So first I'm going to think it's my fault. Then I'm going to be like, they're in a bad mood. And then I'm going to kind of like lose a little bit of hope, right? And I'm going to be like, fuck it, I'm in a bad mood too now. You know, and it's just because, and then it just pushes around everything. You know, Al was listening to this podcast and she'd mentioned that she talked to this this guy she was listening to being interviewed, was talking about he's got a sports team and he has three rules. One of those rules is no complaining, right? Like, and the idea is not that, like, there's not room for complaints, right? You know, like, if someone asks you how you're doing and you say, I'm not doing well, that's an answer to a question. That's not a complaint. But when you're filling the room with negativity that nobody asked for and you just come to work in this shitty headspace, well, leave. Don't bring that. And it's poison, man, in the air. I mean, mm-hmm. You can feel it, you know? And so I try to bring that positivity to work, but man, sometimes it is not easy, you know? And there's only so much room to, you know, go into a room. I can't lock myself in a room and just put on some great music, which I would love to do.
Oh, yes.
But I can't, you know?
Yeah. And we talk a lot about,
what?
I'm just formulating.
Okay. That's what Gabe sounds like when he's formulating the thought, guys.
No.
He's the penguin over here, guys. There's the laugh too.
we both run crews. So I think that's one of those things where we have to be, informed on our own ideas of, you know, where our headspace is. Mm. Because, yeah, like you said, if you're negative from the start, everybody else around you is going to sort of have to pick up the slack, or they are impacted by that and just hold it. And so that's incredibly important to be aware.
What do they say in the military? Gripes go up, not down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gripes go up, not down, Riven.
Yeah.
One of my favorite lines from Saving Private Ryan. Anyway. But yeah, it's one of those things where when we're leading people, it is so important to be positive and aware of our own stuff. And also being able to celebrate when something good happens.
Yeah.
I mean, every day, pretty much when I'm on site, when we set pieces of glass, and that was a big thing, and that was a tough one. A little fist pound, whatever. Just like, this is a small celebration dance of, yeah, we just did that.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next one.
Yeah. Keep moving.
Yeah. Because people inherently want that kind of that appreciation, that acknowledgement of the hard work, no matter what. That is so important. At least to me. I mean, I guess I'm not going to speak for everyone, but
yeah.
I think that's a huge thing to just keep people in the loop and keep people motivated.
Yeah, totally. I mean, there has to be a sort of understanding that the work is going to be challenging, right? So I think that when you join a glazing crew or you join a construction crew or you join a kitchen, it's not always going to be easy and sort of like a blissful, you know, learning experience that you're just sort of like, oh man, you know, this is so much fun and there's space and time to learn. Like there are a lot of times that are, I mean, at least in the kitchen where it's like head down, focus on what you're doing, pay attention to what's going on around you, like listen and use these skills and push yourself. And I'm constantly talking to my guys because that's what I was taught, which is that it's not, growth isn't comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
When you had your growth spurt as a kid, your bones hurt, man. Like that's what that is. You know, growing pains is not a cliche. It's a real thing. And in professional world as well too, it's going to feel uncomfortable. And that discomfort is good.
Yes.
You know, that means that something's happening. Like when I tipped my finger off once and doctors were like, you want pain meds? And I, not to show off, but like, I don't really want pain meds because I want to know, I don't want to like hide the pain. Like if the bone's healing, I'm going to know. Right? That sounds a little crazy. I sound like a psychopath. That's okay. The point
give
is,
it to me.
Yeah, the point is that like, you know, painful growth doesn't have to be excruciating, but it does have to feel uncomfortable because it's going to feel uncomfortable until you get better at it. And then you'll feel comfortable at it, right? Like the challenges that you are able to hold for yourself and for your crew and for the job to take responsibility. You can't really explain that to your younger guys. They may seem like it's just, oh, well, Gabe gets, you know, he gets the call and he orders the stuff, but there's a tremendous amount of responsibility you have for your team and for your crew and for the safety of them and understanding the whole picture, being able to look at it from 100,000 feet. That's what your experience gives you. And everybody wants to sort of get the money shot and like learn to do the thing or like learn to cook a saute or throw the food up in my business, you know, but that's the least important part of the business, which is like when I see young cooks with like their own jackets and their names on their jacket, it's like, no, we used to have a running joke, which is like, if you are applying for a job and your email address is chef, you know, Chef Pete at gmail.com, like we're not interested. We are not interested. If you're applying for a line cook position and your emails is that you're a chef, no, thank you. You know, but like to hold that responsibility and to maintain optimism, I think that's where like the wisdom of age comes in. And I do take it for granted. All of a sudden it'll be 40 this year and it's like, oh yeah, I'm at this point. I actually have a lot of information in my head. I have a lot of experience, not as an ego trip, but just like, yeah, I do know what I'm talking about and I don't necessarily have to explain it to you. I just need you to focus on this one particular job right now, and it may feel uncomfortable, whatever. But I hope that brings some comfort to people, to feel like they're being taught and to feel like they're supported in that struggle. But to me, that makes me optimistic for the future, right? It's just like, okay, now you guys know what to do. My job is to replace myself. My job is to train other people to take over for me. It's not to be the chef forever.
Right.
So if I can continue to do that, that makes me hopeful for the future. Just like I'm sure it is to raise kids.
Oh, yes. I mean, that's the thing that you're trying very hard to pass on those good things that you're like, yes, this is worth sharing. And trying to limit those things that you're like, I know this is the bad part about me. And
let me show you how to shotgun a beer, kid.
I've never done that, so whatever. for old disclosure. I have my oldest son is a graduate of high school this year, or will be graduating, and so there's a lot of thought going in now, especially my wife and I are just thinking about those things, like what have we passed on that has shown him to be beneficial, and hopefully not negative on his aspirations. And just my whole goal is to have brought up two young men who would be valid citizens in our world, to contribute and to be respectful and hardworking, and it's heavy sometimes when you think about that stuff, because here I am, he's 18.
Wow.
And he starts college next year, or in the fall, and he's going to be on his own.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Those are heavy moments for myself to be able to say that, and I don't know where that time went.
Can you put yourself in your parents' shoes in this moment? Does it feel similar? Like, when you grew up, did you feel like those were the goals of your parents, or did you feel like, can you relate to them in this particular moment?
Oh, absolutely. I think the longer I'm married and the longer I'm a parent, the smarter my parents get. When you're a teenager, you're like, I don't want to listen to anything you have to say because you're stupid and you do dumb things. And
which is nothing new, by the way.
Absolutely not. Like, there have been adolescents for thousands and thousands of years saying the same things, and then they realize that their parents weren't as dumb as they thought. Not always.
I mean, life expectancy was shorter back then. But yes. Yeah, I get your point.
I look back now and I know you see the sacrifices that your parents made.
Yeah.
And the people around you made. And I have been incredibly lucky to have a lot of people that have made sacrifices for me. My parents.
Yeah.
My in-laws. Just, I don't want to talk about everybody, but yeah, there have been a lot of people that have sort of been patient as I sort of figured things out.
Yeah.
And said, okay. And never was like, I told you so. Just let you kind of... Okay, there we go. So, I was saying, before the batteries died, what was I saying?
You were talking about how your parents are getting smarter. And...
Yeah. Yeah,
we had a good point. We were going somewhere. It was
so good too.
Oh man, the battery's just died.
Boom.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny you should say. So, just sort of on that same point, I think I was talking to my mom yesterday, and my father had passed away in 2013, and I think now, geez, what is it? 8 years later. I remember certain things about him, and I also remember what an absolute pain in the ass I was. I mean, truly, like, blame your parents all you want, but like, the guy was just doing the best he could, you know, like, all truly. And yeah, you know, like, we all make mistakes. I've certainly made my share of mistakes. I continue, and I will continue until the day I die, but I appreciate that. You know, the things that I look at now, that I hold as a part of my personality, and things that I don't want to say I pride myself on, but things where I know I stand on particular things, it's 100% because of my mom and my dad. You know, they did such a great job of sort of giving me that, that kindness and that willingness to help other people and to do that, you know. But it's hard sometimes, it's easy to lose sight of that as you're sort of taking responsibility for other people. because you still want to focus on your, you still want to just focus on yourself. You know, we were talking about boundaries earlier, and it's like, yeah, I need to have some time for myself during the day to get myself organized and to get my head around stuff. And, but, you know, I spend so much of my life now dedicated to helping other people, which I love to do, but it doesn't feel burdensome to have to maintain optimism. It's sort of just like, it's a choice I want to make, you know, like, and like you said, in the morning, you know, for you, the promise of a new day is like, it's a big deal, man. You know, you can really, that's a choice that you've made to have that mentality. And I say it to my guys all the time. It's like, yeah, you're having a shit moment, but like, it sounds cliche, but like truly assess, like, okay, like take a breath, first breathe, look at what happened, like write it out if you got to write it out. Like, what did I do wrong? You know, I'm not a bad person. I'm not destroyed. My character isn't ruined. And like, choose to move on and choose to be like grateful for the lesson. You're still around to figure it out. You know, there are some people who made some mistakes and they don't get a second chance after they make that mistake, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's still a precious thing, man. Like, and I love having these just as a sort of a moment just to say thank you. Like, us doing this thing together, it means a lot to me too, man. You know, because I get to sit and talk for an hour with a friend of mine once a week, and we may see each other throughout the week as well too, but like this dedicated time to just share thoughts, it's a choice to wake up at 4:30, feed the dogs, you know, make coffee, get our shit set up and talk for an hour or so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a great thing, man. But if people are making more choices just to choose optimism, I feel like it's not always easy, but it sure is valuable.
Yeah. And there's an illustration of a sort of a picture of a dad and a son. And it's a picture, it's sort of a just drawn picture. And the father is basically, it's like a cube kind of picture. And the dad is sort of missing some parts.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's missing some pixels, but he's handing a pixel from himself to his son. And that is, it's so representative of, you know, what we do, as adults,
yeah,
as valuable people, imparting those things that mean so much to us, that worth the time to spend and show people things, be kind to people. It's amazing what can happen from some of that stuff. And I know that COVID has not been an easy time for so many people. And there are a lot of people that are dealing with a multitude of stuff that we don't see or don't understand or whatever. And it's easy to just plop people into those, well, you're just a jerk and whatever. And you don't, you know, you're not thinking about anybody. But it's still important to give people grace. It's still important to allow people to have, I don't want to say space to be wounded, but yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Grace and forgiveness are huge. And we don't talk about that enough. We talk about a lot of stuff in our world. If we were just willing to forgive people, that is huge.
Totally.
Carrying
around bullshit, man. It's heavy. It's unnecessary, you know, like, and so much of like, you know, like, I don't want to sound like an old dude.
I think it's too late. I think that's been the whole episode.
I think that sentence is literally defines me as an out of touch adult. But no, man, like, you gotta have some Bill Withers in your life. You know, you gotta have a little Jimmy Cliff, so to speak. You gotta have some happy music that's been playing that brings you up to something else, because you just carry around negativity and other people's bullshit. It's none of your business, man. Like, if someone's going through a tough time, you reach out your hand and try to help them.
Mm-hmm.
But they gotta help themselves too. And that's not your business. I mean, from my perspective, it's like, I can't take on the burdens of the world, right? Like, I can forgive people. I can have compassion for their situation. And I can think about how I can help. But I also know that, like, I can't do it for them, right? They have to do it for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm continuously thinking about my position as one in which I can solve everyone's problems, first of all, I'm delusional. Second of all, it's an incredible exercise and egotistical, sort of maniacal behavior, because then now I become the one with the power who can change it, and I can't. And also, I'll go crazy because I'm dealing with everyone else's problems instead of my own. We were just talking about this when you came in as well, too. It was like, setting up these boundaries for myself has been a really good exercise, because whenever I'm confronted with difficult times, I try to make myself busy to help others. And I keep giving more pixels away of myself. I got nothing left, man. You know, and like, I got to be strong enough for myself too. I can't just give it all away. And these may seem like obvious things to some people listening to this, but it's like, I'm not just a member. I'm president of the Late Bloomers Club, you know, like, you know, it's been a slow burn for me to sort of come to these realizations, mostly just because I've been lucky. I've been surrounded by a lot of people who really care. I've also been like incredibly stubborn and slow to pick up lessons, because I always think I'm right, you know.
Yeah,
I guess that's stubbornness and ego as well too. But like, man, you can't. 15 years ago, you couldn't tell me. You couldn't tell me shit. Is it raining outside? I don't think so.
Yeah, let me put my head out the window. I'll figure it out.
Oh, it's raining? Yeah, really? No, I don't think so.
Yeah. So my favorite scripture in the Bible comes from Romans, and it's Romans 12:12. It says, "Be patient in hope, faithful in affliction, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer." And those three things are huge. Just being hopeful, and it's being okay with that, and then being patient when things are not going right.
Totally.
And then faithful in prayer that's sort of on me to be just doing the work. That's not on me to make things happen, but it's just me doing the work.
Yeah. And your faith belongs to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's my part.
Yeah.
So,
you know, for me, religion has been a bit of a strange topic. And I don't know if you know our friend, you know, Caleb Miner.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Becky and Caleb. Caleb called me and said, first of all, I didn't know you were Jewish. I love the podcast. Second of all, I didn't know you were Jewish. And third of all, we do a Torah study on Sunday mornings. I don't know that Caleb converted to Judaism, which is a big surprise. Not a surprise in like you, but like a surprise in like, it's such a rare thing that people convert to Judaism for their own reasons, and then genuinely want to participate in the scholarly sort of continued adult learning. You know, like that's a big part of it. And he invited me to these Sunday morning things, and I did one. I missed last week because I was in the emergency room.
good excuse.
But you know, like I used to do it with my dad, and it's basically just grown men reading and arguing, which is honestly the thing I like to do the most. But you know, religion is such a difficult topic. Sometimes it's so charged with ulterior motives and agendas, and ultimately it's about a personal connection with optimism and with belief and faith, and not necessarily having to explain that faith to anybody, but really just being able to sort of share it and share the goodness of it. You know, I always like talking to Orthodox rabbis who weren't trying to shame me for being conservative or slicing ham for a living. You know, like it was always an anecdote, and that you just find the way you are, you know, and that like there's a place in Judaism for everybody. And the older I get, the more I think about this connection that I totally ran away from as a kid. And now the older I get, I'm thinking, oh, you know, there are some pieces of this that are completely me and I can't hide from. I'm Jewish. I was raised Jewish. Like, you know, like I had a bar mitzvah. I grew up in a Jewish home. I have a Hebrew name. Like, there's a story here, you know, whether I like it or not, it's a part of who I am. And being able to explore that and spend time with my nephews and my sister and her kids and her husband and my mom and finding my own place in it is not something that I felt comfortable doing before when I was younger. But now, older, it's like just came out of nowhere. And, you know, this podcast is bringing me closer to my dad in a lot of ways. So, you know, there's some unexpected surprises. And my mom as well, too, you know. She's alone now. My grandmother passed away, her mother. And she's living on her own. And it's nice to call her on Friday night and have these sort of soft moments together. But it all comes around to the idea that, like, how I find peace with myself is, like, accepting myself for all who I am, you know, mm-hmm. whether it's a person of faith or not, whether I decide, you know, I want to make Judaism a bigger part of my life or not. I don't care. It's just not about what I do. It's just about the fact that, like,
that's part of who you are. That's yeah. some of your foundation.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, oh man. We okay on time?
Yeah, we're right there.
Okay. Great yeah, talk.
This has been a good talk this morning.
Yeah, I'm bummed that with batteries died. We were right in the middle of something. The edit's going to be challenging.
There was something really good happening yeah. there, and
we'll start there. Next
a little time. Little derailed, but whatever.
Yeah.
Funny things. You said that I talked to my mom last night, and she listened to episode 4, and she laughed because she was like, "Yep, that was pretty embarrassing." Said. I apologize, and I never realized how absolutely offensive that was. And it's okay. You know, 25 years later, getting to apologize for something stupid you did.
You and your mom are both adults, which you can both laugh at now.
Yes. So anyway, thank you everyone for listening to us. I have no idea how many actual listeners we have, but it seems like there's people actually paying attention.
Yeah.
And so thank you.
Well, you're paying attention and I'm paying attention and I think that's great, man.
Yeah. I enjoy listening to our podcast. So
yeah,
I guess that's the most important thing.
Well, you have to edit them. So I'm glad that you do.
I just enjoy it. Whatever.
So what are you playing us out to today, man?
Oh boy. This is it has nothing to do with what we've talked about all day, but it is an amazing tune. Shout out to the guys at John Doe Records Jr. in Greenfield, Massachusetts, because Scott and Maria are pretty awesome people. They have a pretty awesome shop. If you're looking for some great records, LPs, 45s, whatever, check them out. They're open every day of the week.
Awesome.
And so they're really good people. And
can we also say a shout out to our guys at Addicted to the Needle?
Absolutely.
Thank you for talking about us. We appreciate it. I love your podcast as well, too, guys.
Yes, and my vote definitely goes to Patrick. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm still new to the game, guys. I've only listened to a few episodes, so you know, we'll just start there.
Yeah. So anyways, this comes from them, from Scott. He's like, I hold this for you, and it's amazing. So I hope you guys enjoy it. It's the DeAndre Trio doing the theme to Batman, which sounds campy.
Awesome. But
wait till you hear it. It's amazing. So thanks for listening to episode
8.
8.
Here we go, man.
As always, you can find me at Redeemed Hooligan on Instagram.
And I'm at Oster Seinko. And thanks, everybody.
That's our plug. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.